We just got the inflation numbers, and let me tell you, they were way, way, way hotter than expected, especially if you look at the month-on-month inflation numbers. The CPI month-on-month was 0.5%. Let me just give you perspective. That is the largest ever increase in month-on-month. January's increase in inflation was the largest month-on-month in the past year that we've actually had. And of course, the market didn't like hot inflation numbers. You can see the entire market is red again, specifically altcoins are red again. And that's on the back of a double whammy, because last night we pretty much had Powell come out and say, look, there's not going to be any QE. For those of you who were hoping that we were going to get QE, quantitative easing, and that would usher in this proverbial alt season, Powell basically said last night, there ain't going to be QE until rates go to zero, and rates are not going to zero anytime soon. So what this means is that the entire strategy now has to change. We have to simply look at where we're at. We have to adjust to the new market conditions, and we have to have a completely, completely, completely new strategy. And I really only think that there's one strategy if you want to survive this market. I think that all the narratives around an alt season and a four-year cycle and this huge year ahead of us may have just changed, and we need to adjust our strategy. The good news is that there's still tons of money to be made, but you need to know exactly what you're doing. That's what today is about. So if that makes sense to you, what I need you guys to do is subscribe to the channel. Obliterate the like button if you haven't already done that. Only 255 people have obliterated the like button. That's it. We need, Adrian, obliterate the like button, bro.
Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's get the show going. You know that meme of that boxer and like the boxer's like blood everywhere and it's like, I'm still fighting a good fight. That's pretty much what it's like being in crypto at the moment. It's like no matter where we go, no matter which way we go, we just can't catch a break. Everything's going against us. The CPI numbers are going against us. The tariffs went against us. The big Ethereum liquidation. Everything just seems to be going against us. But the good thing is that if you look at how Bitcoin's actually holding, Bitcoin's actually holding pretty well given the info that we got last night and tonight. So I think that that's one of the things we're going to talk about today is, I think we're actually being very resilient given the amount of news that's out in the market. And that's usually the sign that the sellers are exhausted and we may be near some kind of bottom. So that's I think, something that we are going to talk about. Otherwise, we do need to talk about the double whammy that we got, because we did get a double whammy. We got bad inflation numbers. In fact, if we look at the inflation numbers, let's quickly look at the inflation numbers. So we got CPI, 3%. Remember that the forecast, even from the Cleveland Fed, which are usually quite good at forecasting these things, the forecast was 2.9%. We got, or 2.85%, we got 3%, which is hotter than expected. And then in the month-on-month, so if you look at the month-on-month, that means January over December, you got 0.5% increase in CPI, which was, and the expected was 0.3. That's quite worrying. That's like the biggest month-on-month increase in a year. And I think what that's pretty much showing the world, or pretty much showing investors, is that, look, no matter which way you look at it, the US has an inflation problem. You can try and spin it however you want. The US still has an inflation problem. That inflation problem isn't going to get any better under Trump, because Trump is all about spending. He's all about tariffs. That's all going to increase inflation or prices in the United States. And so right now, I think we just have to accept the fact that the US has a massive inflation problem. And that's what's basically hitting the markets. Specifically, the altcoin markets are getting destroyed because of this inflation problem. Bitcoin is doing okay. Solana seems to be doing okay. Ethereum seems to be hitting some kind of local bottom. But the rest of the altcoins, I mean, I don't know about what your portfolio looks like. Josh showed me his portfolio earlier today. I mean, I didn't want to laugh. I didn't want to embarrass him, but it was very small. It was very, very, very small. You know, like I generally, I don't like looking at other men's like portfolios and then laughing. But I mean, this was really, really small. Just tiny, bro. Just like a micro portfolio. Anyway, I'm laughing specifically at Josh, but I mean, I think a lot of people have now got micro portfolios, specifically the people that are not invested in the right narratives. And that's what we're going to talk about now. We can see that the supposed to be a serious show about inflation. Here we are talking about micro portfolios. What this has done now is it's basically, again, told the market or scared the market into believing there's not going to be any more rate cuts anytime soon. And I mean, I'm going to refresh this. This shows you that about an hour ago, there was a 41.8% chance that the first rate cut was going to be in September. I have a feeling that when we refresh this, we're going to kick the rate cut down the road. So let's do it all together. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Maybe it will refresh. Maybe it won't be. Let's go into the probabilities. The probabilities over here. Okay, so it's now in October. So now in October is the first rate cut. And so now the market's starting to factor in that there actually may not be as many rate cuts. Now the market's factoring one rate cut of 25 basis points in the whole of 2025. It's not a pretty picture. It's an indication that there is inflation in the United States. This inflation isn't going to go away. The economy is very, very, very hot, very, very, very strong. And there's no reason in the world why Powell needs to cut rates and begin QE, except one. And we'll talk about that in a second. But as I said, what's happening now is like a double whammy specifically for crypto people. And the reason why it's a double whammy specifically for crypto people is because in crypto, we all convinced ourselves, we created this narrative, very similar to how we created the $100,000 stock to flow narrative through Plan B stock to flow model in the previous cycle. We created a narrative, and the narrative was that we're going to get QE, quantitative easing, and when we get quantitative easing, we're going to get this alt season, and the alt season is going to play out exactly the same as the last alt season in the previous cycle when there was QE because of COVID. And we're going to get this massive altcoin run and we're going to all make life-changing money. And that's what the narrative was. And then what happened last night, specifically to Crypto Bros, is that Powell went to testify. And in his testimony, he was asked about QE.
So, you know, that's a tool we tend to use when we're at the effective lower bound and we can't cut interest rates anymore. So nothing like what you're seeing in the current day. It's a different test for stopping quantitative tightening, but we would use QE going forward only in a situation where rates are at zero, and you know we're a long way from zero now.
So we would use QE only in a situation where rates are at zero. Now let's just go back to where rates are, because rates are nowhere near zero, as you know. So if we look at where rates are still at 4.25. They're probably going to come down 0.25 this year if the forecasts here are correct. And so chances are we ain't going to get quantitative easing now. And we're probably not going to get it for the rest of the year, and probably not going to get it next year. There's not going to be quantitative easing anytime soon. And I mean, look, the truth is, we probably should have known this. And the reason why we probably should have known this is because if you just go back to the previous times where the Fed did quantitative easing, the interest rates were actually at zero. And then you kind of think about it and you say, hold on a second, it kind of makes sense, right? Because the Fed has two tools which it can use to stimulate the economy, or has a few tools, but these two specific tools. The one tool is it can reduce interest rates. Reducing interest rates stimulates the economy, makes debt cheaper, etc., etc., and therefore people develop more and invest more, right? And then it has another tool, and the other tool is actually physically injecting cash into the ecosystem. And the way that it does that is through quantitative easing. Now, why would you do both? That's like going to war and you got a shotgun or a machine gun and a pistol and you're walking around shooting both. Like, you don't do that. You use the one and then you use the other one when you need to use the other one and when the one runs out of bullets, right? And for now, Powell's got a lot of bullets in his chamber. He's got a ton of bullets in the magazine when it comes to interest rates. He still has 4.25% of interest, which he can reduce. And under the assumption that they reduce one bullet every single time, you've got 4, 16, you've got 17 bullets before he moves on to quantitative easing. Also, this is quite cool. Someone says, Powell has described having rates above zero and engaging in QE as having your foot on the gas and the brakes at the same time. That's exactly right. Like, you're only going to use the one when you're not using the other. The truth is also, if you think about what quantitative easing is a process where the government actually borrows to put money in the economy. So it borrows money to put the money into the economy. That's what happens when you actually dissect quantitative easing. Now, Right now, the interest rates are 4.25%. If you were the US government, would you be borrowing at 4.25% to put money into the economy? The answer is no. You're going to wait for interest rates to go close to zero before you start borrowing money to put it into the economy. To make matters even probably more transparent, if you look at the previous times that there was QE, QE only came, I mean, let's look at the last three times, 2002, 2008, and 2020, right? Those are the last three times where we had quantitative easing. 2001, 2002 was the dot-com bubble. I was there, let me tell you, that was an ass-whipping of note, okay? That was like one of the worst corrections you can ever imagine. The Nasdaq basically shat its bed. Like, you don't understand how bad this actually was. 2008 was the big property collapse. That was a really, really, really scary correction. And the third time when there was quantitative easing was COVID. And COVID was, again, a very, very, very scary time in the markets. And so if you want a path to QE now that resembles the last three paths to QE, effectively, you want to get to a point where something is very broken. And right now, as it stands, at least at what we can see, there's nothing that's really broken. Now, there may be some cracks and there may be some things that are currently breaking, but nothing is really broken at the moment. And therefore, there's just no reason in the world why Powell would go and start quantitative easing. And so what it was, is it was pretty much a narrative that the altcoin investors and the crypto investors created so that we could convince ourselves that this cycle was actually going to be exactly the same as every other cycle. And so what did we say? Don't worry, Powell's going to start quantitative easing. It'll happen in April, more or less in April. He got rates at 4.25%. No quantitative easing happening in April, I can tell you that much. So where are we now? Now we're in a situation where the US has a situation, right? The situation is US has inflation. Inflation ain't going away. And let's say this, just like I'm not very good for people with anxiety, because like if you ask the people in my office, those people that have got anxiety, they're not so good. Powell is not so good for inflation. I mean, sorry, Trump is not so good for inflation. It's like, it's like opposites, right? Powell, not good for inflation. And so now the US has a real, real, real problem. I'm expecting something to happen between Trump and Powell at some point. I think that at some point, Trump's going to flip his lid on Powell. And he's going to say, we need you to drop interest rates. And Powell's going to say, no, we're not going to drop interest rates because we care about inflation. And there's going to be some kind of crazy, crazy, crazy blow up. And, you know, then we're going to test the independence of the Fed versus the government in the United States. And it won't be the first time that happens. I also want to remind you that even though we don't have any QE, we do have that thing we spoke about, the Treasury General Account, which we spoke about the other day. And that is like $1 trillion of QE, or $850 billion worth of QE that's coming into the market. But it's not QE. It's not the same QE that got us into the old season last time. And to be honest, I don't think that that's going to happen again, not for a long, 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 long time. And I'm going to show you exactly when I think that's going to happen and how you're going to survive until then. I think the one thing that we can look at here is, and I'm looking for like silver linings here. So the one silver lining that I can look at here is I can say, look, we just got two things of bad news. And the crypto price is pretty much exactly the same as where it was on Sunday. And these were like really macro bad newses. And so when the crypto market doesn't respond anymore to bad newses, then what you can say is maybe there's a bottom that's actually been reached, or maybe we're at a bottom. Because generally, when you define a bottom, you want to say, okay, the sellers are exhausted. Feels to me like after that massive liquidation on ETH, ETH seems to have found a bottom. Sol seems to have found a bottom. Adrian was on the beach earlier. He seems to have found a few bottoms on the beach. Do you want to maybe share some of those stories here? Or
no, we're good.
No. Where did you go last night, bro?
Ahsoka.
How was it?
Great.
Were you with a girl?
Cape Town's phenomenal.
Did you find a bottom? Because Ethereum seems to have found a bottom.
We've been here. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Okay. Yeah, Adrian's great, but he's not good at closing, but he's really good. I mean, anyway, let's go back to the serious show. We're talking about inflation and stuff like that. What are we talking about? So I was saying it could be that we've hit some kind of bottom because the market's like shrugging off bad news. Most of the market is shrugging off bad news. There's one part that is not shrugging off bad news, and that is if you look at this chart, this is a very good chart by Ben Kahn. It's the chart of others divided by total three minus others. And so what it's done is he's looking for this. He's isolating the small caps. So you isolate the small caps by taking others, which is the crypto market cap, excluding the top 10. And then you divide that by total three minus the others. And that gives you, shows you how the small cap alts are performing. And so now what you're getting is you're getting a situation where the small cap alts are basically getting obliterated, destroyed, killed. Bitcoin's doing quite well. Solana's doing quite well. ETH's doing quite well. And that's giving you a sign or a signal of what's about to happen or of about what's about to come. And here's the part where you really, really need to listen carefully. So when Powell was speaking last night, everyone heard him say, there's not going to be QE. And then we saw crypto markets actually responding to that. And you know what I heard him say? I heard him say basically something like this. He basically said, listen, if you, the meme coin trader, or if you, the altcoin trader, think that if you are relying on the fact that the entire market's going to go up and you're going to become rich just because you're holding crypto, then I've got news for you. Think again, because you ain't ever getting a situation like we had with COVID ever again, where we pump so much money into the economy and basically every single idiot in the world can get rich just by holding risk assets. If I translated what Powell said over here, okay, so listen carefully.
So that you think that, again, just generally speaking, then, if things were to remain stable, you'll continue to unwind the balance sheet, you'll continue the quantitative tightening.
If you listen carefully, what you'll actually hear Powell saying is he's basically saying, no, you idiot, I'm not going to just pump money into the economy so that you can sit in your sofa at home trading anything that you want and landing up making money. Powell basically said, look, I did that once before in COVID because I had to do that in COVID. And that really pumped up everybody's bags and everybody thought they were a genius. But unfortunately, there's no situation now for that to happen. Also, what you need to take into account is that you can actually have a crypto bull market without quantitative easing. A good example is a bad example of that is actually 2017, because you can see that in 2017, we had a great bull market. It was amazing. Like, I want to just give an idea of how good this bull market actually was. I'm going to go to total three, and let's go to 2017. And I want to just show you something. This was an amazing, amazing, amazing bull market, but I'm going to show you why. So this is really a killer bull market. It like started here, and it went all the way up to here. We went up 3,000%. That's a 30x on altcoins, right? The only thing is that you have to bear in mind, and this is a very clever spreadsheet that the researchers did. Whose idea was this spreadsheet? Whose idea was it to make this amazing spreadsheet with the Fed balance sheet and the...
I'm not going to snitch.
You're not going to snitch. I think it's a very good idea. Very good spreadsheet. If you look at the spreadsheet, it basically shows you that in January, the total market cap of the entire altcoin market in 2017 was $754 billion. The entire altcoin market had a market cap, here it is, you can see, at the top of 2017, the market cap of crypto was $729 billion. The reason why we could have such an aggressive bull market in 2017 whilst there was quantitative tightening is because the market was so small, it was the same size as Josh's portfolio. It was tiny. It was really, really, really small. And so to pump a small market, you don't really need capital. Right now in 2025, crypto is a massive asset class, and if you want to pump the asset class, you actually need macroeconomic conditions to actually sway into our favor. And so right now it looks like, unfortunately, the macroeconomic conditions aren't going to sway into our favor. And so what that means is it means that any assumption that you had of an alt season or a repetition of the previous cycles, which I've warned you in the last couple of weeks, I've said to you, if you think that the alt season is going to be the same alt season, I've got all the hate in the comments. It's not going to be the same. Stop listening to your Twitter influencer. Stop looking at the fractals from the 2017 and 2021 bull markets because they're not going to hold. Because the sample size, believe it or not, was only two bull markets, and both of those bull markets were actually different. Also, the halving doesn't really matter as much anymore because the percentage of supply that's coming out now in the Bitcoin halving is so small relative to the total supply that the four-year cycle is also now out the window. So what did Powell actually say to us? Powell actually said, listen, if you think that you can be an idiot, sit on the couch, follow random trading groups or Twitter groups and become a millionaire, that ain't going to happen. That happened in COVID. It's not going to happen again. If you want to make money in this cycle, you actually have to be smart. He basically said that. He said, look, not everyone's going to make money. Most people are going to lose money. You actually have to be smart. I've been saying this to you guys all along. I kept saying to you guys, the idea is not how much money you make or how many screenshots you can post, but how much money you land up keeping at the end of the bear market. And I said to you guys, I was very reluctant to get into memes, and only like a very small part of my portfolio was in memes. And it felt like I wasn't making any money, right? I felt like I was missing the bus. Where are the meme traders today? Let me look under the table here. They all disappeared. Okay, they all got wiped out. You know who survived? The traders that just kept, remember I kept using the tortoise and the hare, and I said to you guys, forget about the hare. Forget about the hare, be the tortoise. Just buy safe, play safe. You'll feel like you're not making as much money at the time and you'll get a whole lot of FOMO. But then all of a sudden, you'll start making money, and then you'll realize that that was the actual right approach. And now that is actually starting to happen. If your portfolio was in Bitcoin, Solana, Radium, Aerodrome, I mean, this has been a correction, but you haven't been wiped. If your portfolio was in meme coins, you are absolutely, absolutely, absolutely wiped at the moment. And so let that be a lesson to you that this is a different kind of alt season. In this alt season, you have too many tokens. As I said, here's the chart again, 38 million tokens. You have these crazy, crazy, crazy unlocks. $6 billion in unlocks coming for the base layers in the next 180 days. Who's going to absorb all these token unlocks? Now that Josh's portfolio has become a micro portfolio. I mean, who's going to absorb all of this? Who's going to buy all of this? You're getting new launches. Look at what's happening to the new launches. Bearachain, do you want to see the launch? Great piece of technology. We're investors. We think it's amazing. Look at that. Look at the launch. Okay, let me zoom out just to make it a little bit more dramatic. Now look at the launch. See, went to a $15 billion valuation, now back at a $5 billion valuation. Got to ask yourself a question. Is this cycle the same? In the previous cycle, this never used to happen. All these token unlocks never used to happen. This cycle has absolutely, absolutely, absolutely changed. And you've got to adjust to the cycle. So how do you adjust to the cycle? What do you do? Okay. Option number one, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again for those of you who didn't listen the first time. You can become a trader. This is a trader's paradise. If you only met the guy that runs Front Runners, our researcher, his name is Joe, the Irishman. Man, he's having the time of his life, but it comes at a cost. The guy walks around wearing these diapers all day long so he doesn't miss a trade. He literally sits at his desk. You can phone him 2 a.m. In 2 seconds, he'll answer the phone. 2 a.m, news breaks, he's in Front Runners. He's updating the Front Runners. He's built this like army of fucking followers that follow him on Front Runners. And these guys are making a lot of money, but they're all wearing adult premium diapers because they cannot miss a trade. Because if you go to the toilet, you're going to miss a trade. Unfortunately for me. By the way, if you want to join Joe in Front Runners, there's a link below. Sign up. If you want to sign up, you get a month to trial it. If you don't like it after a month, you can get your money back. Try that. Anyway. Now they're all laughing at me. Is it true about Joe? Be honest. Have you ever been on a Zoom call with him where he shows you the bottom part of his body?
He didn't show me the bottom part.
Okay, Truff, I bet you we phone him now. He answers. You want to take a bet?
Okay.
Let's phone him. I bet you. Now he's listening to the show, so he's not going to answer. Okay, watch. I bet you we're going to phone him and he's going to answer. No, he's watching the show, so he's not going to answer.
Yeah, what's up?
We just want to know, are you trading right now?
Yes.
Okay. Have you left your desk at all in the last 24 hours? Like, have you gone to bed at all or not?
I got like 4 hours, maybe. Four hours.
Did you change your diapers today? Have you changed the diaper at all?
Stop.
Have a nice day, bro. See, he always answers. He's always trading. He's had 4 hours of sleep. He has 4 hours of sleep every night. Okay, one option is you can become a trader. If you want to become a trader, we have two courses for you. There's links below. One is Dylan's course. Dylan's course is an amazing course because
I was looking to make money with trading. I was trying on my own and I couldn't figure it out. I was all the time in red. After taking Dylan's Accelerator course, I understood that in trading, you have to look for the best entries and reaction goals. Taking this course has been a game changer for me. Right now, I see more green than red.
So Dylan's course is all about algo trading and automated trading, and Kyle's course is all about whale trading. Now, I'm telling you, there's a link below if you want to sign up. It's the last time these courses will ever be free. The next time these courses come on, they're going to be $3,000 each. It's your last chance to go and sign up. There are links below. It's the last chance to absolutely go and do that. Anyway, let's get back to the show. If you are like me and you're not going to be a trader, because we don't have time to trade. Also, I've got better things to do than wear adult diapers. I just can't do it. Then what you need to do is you need to really reevaluate your investment strategy. And I want to show you how I look at the investment strategy. The first thing is I say to myself, okay, this four-year cycle thesis is out the window. This alt season in April is completely, completely, completely out the window. So that means that I'm preparing myself for a marathon instead of for a sprint. I'm in my assumptions, I'm saying, I don't know how long this is going to last, and I don't know what the road ahead looks like. What I do know is that it's probably not going to look like the previous old seasons. And so I need to prepare for a completely different race. You think like you're running the 400 meters, right? How many yards is that? That's like what are you like when you're running the race? It's 400 yards, eh? So when you're running the 400 yards, it's a very different race from if you're going to run a marathon. Prepare yourself for a marathon. And worse than that, prepare yourself for a marathon on rocky terrain. Like what do they call them? A trail running marathon. That's what you got to prepare yourself for. And to do that, again, what you got to be careful of is you're not trying to time the markets. If you're trying to time narratives in this markets, you're going to get rinsed, okay? We thought we got AI agents early when we got it in December. We realize now that maybe even then we were a bit late. We thought we got meme coins early. We realize now that we were a bit late. The problem is you're always too late if you're trying to time narratives. And if you're trying to time narratives, Josh, bro, what are you doing? If you're trying to time narratives, effectively your portfolio is going to end up looking like this. And if you're trying to trade the hottest coins or the hottest meme coins or whatever else, just look at the returns on WIF and on Pengu and whatever else. That's not a strategy. I hope that by now you've realized that jumping from narrative to narrative and thinking that you're the earliest guy on the narratives ain't happening. What you need to do is you need to remove your portfolio from any kind of reliance on the next narrative. And that's exactly what my portfolio looked like. Not exactly, I was probably 10% off before this correction. Because remember, I kept saying to you guys, the best investment strategy that you can have is you buy the DEX, you buy the layer one, and then you buy the project or you buy the meme coin or whatever. But 90% of your money is in the layer one and the DEX. Now, let me give you a few examples. If you did that on Solana, right? So you bought Sol. Solana is at $192. Not bad, given what the rest of the market is doing. Okay. And then you bought Radium. I mean, Radium is like, what is it, like $5 today? Let's we could just look at where Radium is. Because that's like the biggest DEX on Solana. Right? And then you don't really care whether AI is a narrative or meme coins are a narrative. You don't give a shit. Because no matter what the narrative is, you're capitalizing of it. And now you're realizing that even though the meme coin traders seem to be making so much more money than us who were just holding Solana, Radium, and maybe 1% or 2% of our portfolio in meme coins, today who's laughing? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not the meme coin guys. Look at Popcat versus Solana. So if you look at Popcat versus Solana, it's two tokens. And look how Solana obliterated Popcat. Now, look at the same chart of WIF and Radium. Look at the relative performance of WIF against Radium. Radium basically obliterated WIF by 90%. This is a lesson to you guys. The lesson is, put yourself in a position where you can run a marathon, where these things aren't going to shake you out or scare you. How do you do that? It's super, super simple. If blockchain is about the creation and trading of digital value, be in the creation layer, which is the layer one, be in the trading layer, and be in a third layer, which I like very, very, very much, which is the cross-chain layer. And that's really all you need in order to make life-changing money in the cycle and to actually sleep well at night. Because if you're trying to hop from narrative to narrative, you were gone. And if you look at the portfolio that I set up for you guys the other day, in this portfolio, I basically said to you, I said, look at this portfolio. Bitcoin, layer one. Solana, layer one. Sui, layer one. Hyperliquid, layer one, and trading DEX. Aerodrome, trading DEX. Jupiter, trading DEX. Jito, MEV/trading volume. Link, cross-chain narrative, real-world assets, and then two speculative tokens around stablecoins. That's all you need. If you had held that portfolio, you're doing better than 99.5% of people that were holding any type of coins. Now, I want to just show you another chart. And I said to you, there's three things that I'm actually looking at. And I'm going back to first principles. And the reason why I'm going back to first principles is because we're about to embark on a David Goggins type marathon. That's like what it is. Like, there's just, this is the altcoin is not coming. The altcoin season is not coming in April. It's not coming in May. It's not coming in any of those times. We need to make sure that we're ready for a long race. How do you get ready for a long race? You hold the layer one. You hold the trading. You hold the infrastructure tokens. Layer ones, DEXs, cross-chain protocols. I want to show you an example, right? The whole market has been absolutely obliterated. Look at the DBridge chart. DBridge hasn't moved at all since January. Has not moved. Has not moved. 30 cents. Now look, you may say, well, it has not moved. That's bad. In this market, has not moved is amazing. And if you look at the quality of what this DEX is actually doing, this cross-chain protocol is actually doing, this is the fastest cross-chain protocol. If you want to bridge money from one network to another, DBridge is the one that does it fastest and cheapest, right? Specifically for the retail investor. Now, we've used DBridge before. In fact, let's go to the bridge. I'll just show you how easy it is. Basically, I've got $100,000 in this account. Wow. Bingo, just found $100,000. Believe it or not. Anyway, what you can do is you can move any money from any token from any chain to any chain. And these were the first guys to do Bearer Chain. They were the first ones to do Hyperliquid. So these guys are operating really, really, really fast. Their token has been absolutely resilient. This is a token that I want to hold. The layer ones are tokens that I want to hold. Solana, Radium, Aerodrome, I want to hold those. Another one which I want to hold is like, again, cross-chain narrative, Axelar. Probably from a technological point of view, this is the best technology around cross-chain protocols, and it will have its day. Now, it hasn't had its day up until now, but from a tech point of view, absolutely, absolutely amazing. Layer Zero, also a good one. They actually just integrated Ton. The Ton blockchain actually went live. Ton is another one that I would actually hold, to be honest. Another one which is kind of making a comeback is BNB. I see CZ's very much behind it. I want to show you something around BNB. So if I look at BNB, USD, BNB is almost like at its highs. I mean, this token's still up today, believe it or not. Like, check at this. And you see that the market shaking off this bad news. The market's going to finish up now. Market's resilient to all this bad news, I'm telling you. Market's resilient. Anyway, that's what I actually wanted to show you. I wanted to show you that, let's forget about this hype of when alt season, bro. Let's get ready for a long, long, long marathon, and hopefully things will happen sooner than expected, but let's be ready. And the way to do it is stop chasing the shiny object. Stop thinking that you're going to be first to a narrative, because you're not first. Take 2% of your portfolio and play in the individual narratives, and the rest of the money you put into layer one and the trading protocols and the cross-chain protocols. And that is how you're going to land up making and keeping money in the cycle, and not just making shiny paper gains that eventually become a micro portfolio when the market actually lands up crashing. That's all I wanted to say today. By the way, I did see something today which I think is very interesting from one of our partners. I saw, was it Ben that tweeted it? Ben Zhao. Let's quickly just have a look here. So he tweeted today, and I actually haven't seen this feature, but it's probably interesting. You can trade gold with crypto. So they've probably launched, it looks to me like Bybit's launched gold and foreign exchange trading using crypto, which is actually, that's a very cool feature, because gold's actually been on a tear. I don't know if you guys have been watching gold. Gold on some days has actually been a lot more fun than crypto. I can tell you that much. Peter Schiff has been changing his adult diapers very, 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 very often. But if you look at gold, gold's almost at all-time highs. And now you can trade gold with your crypto on Bybit. There's a link below to Bybit. Also, if you did trade on Bybit, I just want to read what it says here, because they wrote me a whole beautiful note. They said, Okay, so we received a whole lot of responses for people who actually blew up their portfolios on Bybit, right? So if you blew up your portfolio in that mass liquidation, we actually want to reimburse your portfolio. What you need to do is there's a link below. Go to the link below and just put in your user ID and tell us how much you lost. And we're going to have 5 lucky users. We're going to reinstate your portfolio from before. Now, that's really, really, really a company or a partner that cares about its people, because I don't see any other exchanges offering to reinstate people's accounts. It also shows that we really tried so hard to push them to do this, but that doesn't matter. Anyway, we'll see you guys again tomorrow. If you enjoyed this, just, and you're still here and you listen till the end, just smash the like button like one more time. See you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.